Well, good morning, or good afternoon it is. The afternoon after the election, and we're still hanging fire. And you're listening to Glenn Coble, and the name of the program is A Progressive Life. And as you probably have heard Scott and I discussing this earlier, I have Dr. Feynman is on the air with me. Are you there, Doctor?
Yes, I'm here and raring to go.
Okay. Well, both of us, I'm sure, didn't get very much sleep last night.
No, I did not. Actually, I took a nap about 10:30 because you know, and then I woke up 11:30 and I said, "Oh my God, is this a nightmare or did I have one?" but I still say Joe Biden is going to be the winner. And okay, he lost Florida, my home state, which I'm very upset about. But Florida is very difficult. Texas, yeah, which he could not turn over, but I still think Texas is going blue in the future. Ohio, which I think this time will be with the loser, the first time since 1960, and Iowa. And I want to commend Adam Lepp, for being very accurate on predicting Florida, Texas, Ohio, and Iowa going Republican. So I want to send my greetings on that.
Your former talking mate there. You used to be on his show a lot.
Yes, and you know, and we disagree on a lot, but he's still a great guy. And again, I want to point out that he was correct on those four states, and I got to give him credit for that.
Well, that's good. We need to give each other a lot more credit. I don't know. Did you happen to tune in to any of Scott's and my program before this?
Just about maybe 20 of 12. I heard the last 20 minutes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well,
not before that. No.
We were pretty brutally frank with each other, and I think that's good. Scott and I have.
I missed that. So what was you frank about?
Well, I called a lot of people ignorant.
By name or just generally?
No, in general. Yeah, I think...
I have to agree with you. I cannot believe Cubans in South Florida thinking that Joe Biden is like Castro. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's...
In Miami-Dade. And I think that's why Joe did not win Florida. But he did very well in Broward County and in Palm Beach County. And, you know, and I just think many people need to take a course on what socialism is.
Yes.
First of all, what Karl Marx said it was, which was not what Soviet Russia or China or Cuba were.
Right.
Then what they call socialism in those countries. And then look at socialism in this country, Norman Thomas, Eugene Debs, FDR, LBJ, Great Society, New Deal, things like that.
Yep.
I don't think they want to give up all those, quote, socialist things we have.
I'm sure they don't.
And so it's ridiculous, but, you know, I find many people think that Joe Biden is dangerous, or Harris, oh my God, Harris is really dangerous, and yet she went after crime in San Francisco and in California. She's a tough lady, and I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it here. A lot of them don't like the fact she's a woman, just
yes,
like Hillary Clinton.
Well, we talked a little bit about that, Scott and I did.
Yeah, and that she's certainly assertive, and a lot of men particularly don't like assertive women.
Well,
they want women to walk behind the men six steps behind.
Yeah.
And there's a racial element because she's mixed race.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, people say, no, it isn't that. It is.
Yeah.
I am certain of that. It's
BS that they say it's not. They don't want to admit their own shortcomings. And we all have them. I, you know, Dr. Feynman, every day I sit down and go, Glenn, that's a bigotry. You're thinking a racist thought. And I've fought it for 74 years, and I don't think I'll ever get it completely right. I have great friends that are African-American people, but I'm sure that if they were truly honest with me, they would say, I remember when you did this, and that was kind of a racist thing. And I really...
But it wasn't conscious. It may be subconscious racism and misogyny and anti-Semitism,
yeah,
but that's not the same as really promoting it, as many people do, and thinking perfectly fine to do that.
Well, like I told you probably a month or two ago, my father, who was a very liberal Methodist minister, said to me he'd rather me marry a Jew than a Catholic. And that was because at that time the Catholic religion was absolutely anti... you couldn't marry a Catholic if you didn't change your religion and the religion of any offspring. And that's why my dad hated that. But my dad really didn't hate Catholics. He was best friends with Father Hesburgh, who was the president of Notre Dame.
Yes.
And one of my people that I still talk with on Facebook, Lillian Gerwitz, was Jewish, and they lived right up the street. I mean, we were lucky. We lived in South Bend, Indiana, and had African-American friends, Jewish friends, Catholic friends. We had every type of friend in the world, and we truly didn't really see it that way. I knew that some of my African-American friends were being treated poorly, mm-hmm. but I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
If they're not perfect people.
No,
but when
you have
people out there, politicians, advocating racism, misogyny, nativism, anti-Semitism, white supremacy, that is going beyond just what you have in private thoughts. When they're public leaders, they have a responsibility not to do that. But look at our president.
Yeah. Well, we don't know whether he's going to be our president in a week or not.
Oh, he will be until January.
Oh, yeah, he will until January 20th.
But
yeah.
His saying that there should not be any more vote count is outrageous.
Yeah, and why my friends, my Republican friends, think that's right that he even say that is something that galls the hell out of me.
Yeah, well, I'm sure if it was the other way around and Obama said that, they'd be furious.
Well, yeah, but that, you know, he's only half white.
Yeah, and they don't think he has any brains or intelligence when compared to Trump.
Yeah.
It's no comparison, you know.
Yeah.
That's the same thing with Harris, too. Harris is a mixed-race person, Asian and African background,
yep.
And she's intelligent. And I think it overcomes these people's ideas that somehow people who are not white are not intelligent. You know, it's crazy, but it does exist among many people. But they always try to deny it, you know. And they usually avert their eyes if you're talking to them eyeball to eyeball, you know. It's just shocking to me.
Well,
in this age, in 2020, almost 2021.
You're the station's presidentologist. Oh, I can't say that word.
Ologist, yes.
Anyway.
I thank Adam Lett for that.
Yeah. Thanks,
the word
Adam.
In the dictionary yet, but I love it.
Anyway.
Thank you, Adam.
That's good that you are, because I'm going to ask you a question that I have no idea the answer to. Have we ever had a Jewish president?
No, we have never had. We had Joseph Lieberman. Joe Lieberman,
yes.
Run for vice president.
Right, I remember that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but of course, he did not end up as vice president. But no, we have not had a Jewish president, and I don't know if we ever will, because Jews are a very small percentage compared to other so-called minorities, and I just have a feeling that it's unlikely to happen, unless a person's vice president.
And moves up.
So that could happen, like if Lieberman had been behind Al Gore, and Al Gore had not survived, but I would doubt it. I think there's still a high level of anti-Semitism in the United States, even though they're a small group in percentage compared to other groups, and I would doubt it. But, you know, but there are plenty of people who are Jewish who are in the Senate and the House and in government jobs, you know, that are, you know, cabinet positions and things like that. So we have, you know, as a person who's Jewish, I think that's certainly, you know, fine. No problem.
Enlighten me. How many Jewish people are there in the United States? Do you know what percentage?
It's about 2%. There's about 5 million people. I think 5.5 million people, about 2% of the population, yes.
Actually, that's less than the Asians, isn't it?
What's that mean?
I think that's less than Asian people.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And you also got to realize many Jews intermarry and do not bring up their kids Jewish. So
yes.
May be Jewish, but they're not considered Jewish. It depends on what figures you get from the American Jewish Committee. But it is a group that has declined, and many Jewish people do not have children or do not replace themselves with two or more. So the percentage of the whole population is getting less. And remember, at Charlottesville, they were very definitely anti-Semitic.
Yes,
you know, the people demonstrating at Charlottesville in 17. And our president, even though he has a Jewish son-in-law and all that, did talk about good people on both sides.
Yep.
And that's just unacceptable and outrageous.
Well, do you honestly believe, now I was just reading a thing where it said that 24% of the American public, when asked on a form, said that they were not religious. Do you honestly believe that all of the people that are in our Congress and our Senate are these stalwarts of their church?
Well,
our president is not.
No, almost all of them will say they are, but they're phony Christians. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
Not all. I'm not attacking all Christians, but I think many of them are phony, and they just use it as a way to get people's votes because they appeal to people's emotions, and that's disgraceful.
Well, we tend to get that, especially in up here. Maybe not in Florida, but up here we have a lot of evangelicals who tend to throw a lot of that at you. You're not a good person unless you're born again. Quite frankly, I've never figured out what the heck that means. So,
well, same in Florida. Not so much in South Florida, but in Central and North Florida, there's a lot of those people.
Okay.
And how they could back a person who has done everything against religion and God is amazing to me.
Yeah. Well, our new Supreme Court justice is one of those that believes her husband has to tell her what to do, right?
Well, supposedly. I'm not sure on the court, but supposedly. And I'm just concerned if for some reason this appeal that he has Trump to go to the court, if the court ends up backing his election despite the actual popular vote and electoral vote because they stopped the count, like in 2000, it's going to be really something that's going to cause an uproar because they should not be intervening. They should not have in 2000 either, but they did. And this is, again, another time that the Democrats win the presidency as far as popular votes, the seventh of eight times now, and yet they have lost four times, or three times, because 2004 Bush did actually win the popular vote. But in 2000, 2016, and now maybe again, they could win the popular vote and still lose the election. But I predict that they're going to easily go over 300. As it stands now, if you take away Texas, 38, Florida, 29, Ohio, 18, and Iowa, 6, 91 electoral votes from 413, which I had projected, we're left with 322 to 236. And that would mean winning Michigan, Georgia, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania. And I know Pennsylvania's going to be a little hard, so maybe not Pennsylvania, so it might be 302 to 256. To 316, but I do think that he's going to win Michigan, Georgia, and North Carolina.
You believe Georgia, huh? Okay.
I think he is going to win. We'll see whether I'm right. You know, and he's already won Maine and won that extra district in Maine that Trump won. He's won one vote. I'm talking about Joe Biden in Nebraska. So one vote in Nebraska and Maine. Besides the ones he had in Maine, he's won. He's won Arizona and he's won Nevada and he's certainly falling up ahead in Wisconsin. So I think that the most he will lose is 5 of the 10 states that I thought he would gain, meaning the 4 he's lost, Texas, Florida, Ohio, and Iowa, and maybe Pennsylvania. But I think it'll end up 236 or 302 or 322 electoral votes. And all he needs is 270. I don't see him unable to win 270.
Okay, I'll tell my wife that. She didn't sleep all night either.
Well, I'm telling people online now that, you know, and of course, I got to say, after what's happened, I'm saying maybe I should stop projecting. It's part of my being to do so.
I understand that. That's why we have you on.
In 8 and 12, I was correct, except for one electoral vote in 8, and Tony, but Trump is a different mentality, and he's impossible to understand why people vote for him. But it's often been said on these polls that make people swing to how they think that many people, when they're asked, they will not say they're voting for Trump because they know it's not fashionable, but they're secret Trump voters, and I guess that's what's going on.
Do you know why people vote for Trump?
Well, a lot of them said they like the way he's frank, you know, and says what's on his mind, but
okay.
That's the way you lose jobs if you act that way on a job or in a relationship. You don't keep that job or relationship. I don't think it's flattering. I don't think anybody should want to know somebody who acts so brutally as he does.
Especially if he's doing it out of incorrect and lying situations.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, his immorality in his private life and his public life. And like, for instance, there was somebody on Facebook who I know who's now 40 years old, a friend of my son's, and you know, he's a photographer, he does very well and all that. But he mentioned to me one time in person 20 years ago when he was in college, he was a golf caddy in New York for this guy, and they were playing against Trump and his golf caddy, who was African-American. And what happened is, Trump hit the ball and it went awry. And so what is, and I'm going to, I hope I can say it on here. I don't like to use racist language. Can I use it?
Go ahead.
Okay, he said, go get that ball, nigga.
Oh, my.
And like, and this guy said, he and the guy he was with, the one he was working for, they had a stunned look. They didn't know what to say. Nobody ever knows what to say. But when he says he's not racist, when he was involved with the Central Park Five convicting them without any evidence, yeah, you know, about that incident in Central Park, and also denying blacks apartments in Queens County in the city of New York in the 1970s, along with his father. I mean, and that's just two past things, and all the other things that come up, and then this private thing where this person witnessed this, and then people just will slouch it off like it's nothing.
Yeah. Now, have you listened to Trump's niece? She says that it's obvious that he's racist.
She claimed that every time they got together for, you know, any kind of holiday, he was always using racist language,
yeah,
and anti-Semitic language too.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah,
before, of course, Jared Kushner became part of the family.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, he's got problems with anybody who is not white. White, I guess you'd say, and not Christian, although he's not a good Christian at all. He doesn't care about God. Joe Biden is a very devout Catholic. Such a decent, humane man, and that's what we need, my gosh. But we're going to have him. It's just, unfortunately, the Senate, it looks like it's going to stay Republican, and that's, yep, going to cause all kinds of grief if there's,
sure,
a Supreme Court appointment. If Breyer leaves at age 82, they're probably going to say, no, we're not going to give you an appointment. They can probably deny him. I mean, there's going to be hell to pay as far as getting things done, and he'll have to use executive orders like Obama did.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's going to happen. I'm sorry?
It's going to be very sad that he's going to be stopped at any initiative. It's going to be very difficult to overcome it. But he can use executive orders and then be called unconstitutional. But, of course, Trump has done that plenty of times.
Yeah. Now, having Supreme Court nominations, how in the world? Well, I know how they'll do it. They'll just do it. Mitch McConnell will just say, well, we can't name a new Supreme Court justice in the final 3 years of a person's
term. Final 3 years. Yeah. Next year, Breyer leaves or dies, God, but he's 82, the oldest member. That's the whole thing. I mean, it's just ridiculous because he was denied Obama an appointment, and now there's three appointments by Trump, and really, it's the first one, Gorsuch, I think, might be the best of the three as far as what he stands for, but he should not have been in that position. It should have been Garland.
Yeah. And, yeah.
You know, it's just, it's hard not to curse, and I'm not a curser.
Well, now,
again, I apologize for using the N-word, just describing what was told to me, because I did not use that language.
Yeah, you were describing what happened, and
Okay. To me, when I hear it once in a while, I still hear it, I look at people like, what the hell is going on here, you know?
Yeah, it's one of my wife and I were having that discussion yesterday, as a matter of fact, what words and Scott and I were having a discussion off the air about that. There are certain words that are racist. There are certain words that,
yes,
are misogynistic. There are certain, very few. I can think of one female word that you would never use, and the N-word you would never use. In this situation, you used it as a descriptive.
Yeah, and again, I apologize for using it. If anybody might have been
offended. Sorry, well, probably, yeah. Scott will probably beep it later. Anyway.
I'm sorry.
All right. What do you foresee? How long do you think it's going to take to get this all settled?
Well, to get to 270, I think it'll be in a couple of days. I think by Friday it'll probably be settled, but not all the states that are outstanding.
Right.
But all you need is 270, and he's close enough to it. He's ahead, and I do think that he's going to win it, and I really think he's going to win every state but Pennsylvania out of the states that are left to be considered. You know, I think Michigan, Georgia, North Carolina, and also Wisconsin. And already he's won Nevada and Arizona and Maine. So I just think Pennsylvania, probably not, but maybe. But it's a big, a lot of votes to come. So maybe. So he might win it all. So the maximum would be 322 instead of 413. Four states fewer than I thought.
Okay, let me ask a hypothetical question. Let's say that Biden does win, so we have Biden as president, and we have, obviously, we've gotten the House back. As a matter of fact, I think we gained a couple of seats in the House.
Not very much for what we gathered, and that's still unsettled somewhat.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, but we will have the House and the president,
yes.
I mean, if Biden is selected.
Yeah.
How do you think there'll be any opportunity for Republicans to actually be honest and actually start to legislate instead of, whatever you call it now that they do fall
I don't
the
think
line.
Mitch McConnell, who got reelected, Lindsey Graham got reelected, Sean Cornyn, I'm so upset about that. That really upsets me a lot. I don't think they want to cooperate, and I don't think there's going to even be a stimulus bill. I doubt it. We're going to have much worse economic conditions. He can do certain things by executive order, the president, but he's going to be fought tooth and nail, I think, by the Republican majority in the Senate.
Yeah, do you not think that there's another Senate? We have a senator who's up in 22. Do you not think they will think twice if the president loses his position and they don't have to kowtow to him to avoid getting tweeted upon?
Well, Ron Portman is one of the more reasonable of the Republicans, but he's tended to go along completely, pretty much, with Trump. But he's not a loudmouth. He doesn't speak up on it. So I do respect him for that. And actually, interesting, I looked ahead. Two-thirds of the seats next time are again Republican.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so that means they probably will lose some. But in this case, they seem to have lost a couple, and the Democrats gained a couple. So it's sort of like, Montana was lost by Steve Bullock against the incumbent Steve Daines. I'm shocked, with Bullock being a big name and was running for president, that he couldn't win there.
Yeah.
And Alabama, Doug Jones did lose to that football coach, Tommy Tuberville.
Yeah, there
really
you go.
Sad.
Brilliant.
but on the other hand, we did gain Colorado, Hickenlooper.
Yep.
And I think that was where else at the moment. But Iowa, Joni Ernst, oh my God, she got reelected. I just don't get it. But Georgia's open. The two Georgia seats are promising. And we might even gain a seat or two, but it probably won't be 50.
Yeah.
It's 50, then the vice president can organize the Senate. But if it's 49, which I think it more likely will be, or 48, no. And so it's sad. The Senate has become an obstructive organization.
Right.
And now the idea of changing filibuster rules is down the drain.
Yeah.
I think the idea of having two new states added is down the drain. I think any real major structural reform, ending the filibuster, I don't think so. So we're going to be having more stalemate, unfortunately,
I'm afraid. It'll be four more years of frustration.
But a president who has decency and compassion and is someone who's going to try to do the best he can under the circumstances.
I'm sure he will, yes. I'm not even sure where to go from now. I'm getting depressed again.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But I'm trying to look at the positive side now. Look at the numbers. And again, Pennsylvania is going to be hard, but the other states, Michigan, Georgia, North Carolina, all seem possible. But actually, if he just wins one of those four, he will have 271 electoral votes.
Okay.
So I can't see him losing all four, Michigan, Georgia, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania probably will. But I'm saying he's got Wisconsin, Nevada, Arizona, and Maine, and Alaska was said to be held out, but it's going to go to Trump. So it's really one of four states he needs to make 271. I'd rather he do better than that.
Yeah.
I think he will have at least 271, absolute minimum.
Well, you've got to admit, like Scott said to me, we have to admit, there is a no mandate on either side on this election.
At this point, yes. We'll have to see when the final numbers come in, but I would say that, yes. And apparently a lot of people seem to be having no issue with the way he conducts himself, our president.
Yeah.
And that shocks me about behavior. Yeah. Do you want your children to act like that?
I don't understand it either. It absolutely dumbfounds me.
And I think it does worsen relationships between boys and girls, whether elementary, middle, high school, or college, because I think the guys will feel, I don't have to be respectful of girls or women. I really think unless you teach it at home and you can enforce it at home, we're going to have a lot worse situation, and probably a lot more people are never going to marry, or if they do, they'll get divorced.
Now, you mentioned that earlier, that that Jewish people tend not to have as many children.
Generally, that's true.
Why is that?
We had two, but many do not, yeah.
What causes that?
Probably because of career ambitions, both men and women, that they want to work, and it's harder to have too many kids.
Okay.
Also harder to, if not just for Jews, for anybody, to bring up kids in the environment where the economy's always up and down so often as in 08 and again. So I think many people, I know students of mine who have had one child, and that's all they're having, whether Jewish or non-Jewish.
Okay.
You know, because each kid is not double the cost, it's quadruple the cost, remember.
Yeah. Well, my youngest, he and his wife have pretty much decided they're not going to have any kids, and they're closing in on the upper 30s, so I probably won't have any grandkids there, which is a shame because my son was a terrific athlete, and both of them are gorgeous people. So
yeah, that's a sad thing.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully they'll be happy and have a good life.
Yes.
But
yes.
I still think having at least one child is important. That's my opinion, you know. But
I would like to see them have one child, and I know their mother, my wife, it's broken her heart that they don't have any children. And I hope they're not listening. They do listen occasionally. I hope they're not listening today because I don't want to throw a guilt trip on anybody. So.
Yeah. Well, each person has to decide what will make him happy.
Yeah,
I always thought that if I didn't have children and I'm my age now, 75 going on 76, I would feel I lost something by not having children.
Yeah, me too. And believe me, if my son is listening, kids are fun.
It's also a lot of work.
They are a lot of work. Yeah.
I must say, some days, maybe even you would say over the years, you might have said, did I have to have children?
Yeah, I have said that more than once.
But then in the end, you have love for your kids.
Oh, my
God. And look, even in a marriage, you don't always get along 100% every minute of every day. But you have basic love, and that's what's important.
Oh, my goodness. We don't get along every day. My wife is, I used to call her my communist because she was so far left wing. But now we do agree, but she wants to take it one step further. And two nights ago, we were having a big fight. We have probably one big fight every month, and we were having one of the big fights, and I said, you always do that to me. And she said, yes, and I always win. And I said, you are the most competitive person I know. And she said, your sons thank me for that.
Did she laugh at the end?
Yeah, she did. And actually, if I tell the truth, my daughter is more competitive than either of my sons.
Taking it up to the mom.
Yeah, mom did it. Mom did it. Oh, well.
It sounds almost like the honeymoon show.
Yeah, well, except for my wife wins all the time.
Is that because you let her?
Well, I'd like to say it's because I let her, but life in my house would not be much fun if I didn't. She is the worst competitive person I ever know. And I went through intercollegiate athletics for 18 years, and believe me, if she had been, she used to get mad at me because she wasn't allowed to play basketball in high school.
Well, considering how things have changed, I can understand that.
Yeah, and she was right. Because they had GAA, Girls Athletic Association, and that made, and she didn't want to play girls basketball where you dribble the ball to mid-court, then you had to hand it to the person that was in front court. Nobody could guard you while you were in back court. They had all sorts of stupid rules. They had to wear long dresses.
That's really old times. Yeah,
it was old times. And she said to me, if I had been able to be an athlete, I would have been a great athlete.
Now, it reminds me when I was in high school, the valedictorian of my high school class long ago, you know, I found I was not going to college, and that's in 1962. And I remember saying to her, why aren't you going? She says, oh, my parents say I should become the secretary, find a guy, and get married.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping she did go later, but I think, what kind of crazy? And this is 1962.
Right.
Nobody talked about these things, and I thought, that's crazy. Why should you go, you know?
It is crazy, and that's how far we've come. You and I have seen a lot of great forward progressive movement. Unfortunately, right now, we seem to be wanting to slow things down because the white male is losing his place.
Well, the white male is becoming less and less of the population.
Yep.
Over time, in the next 20 years, there'll be a minority.
Yep.
And the white population generally will be less than 50% by 2045.
It scares
or
the hell
so. And they're trying to stop it, but unfortunately, I think it's going to lead to violence and bloodshed, I fear, because we have a president who's inciting them, you know?
Do you think that if Trump does not win, do you think there will be bloodshed?
I think there's going to be some trouble. I think there's going to be trouble either way, somewhat. But I always have said more from the right wing than the left wing.
Yeah.
These people tell you Antifa. Antifa is nothing. nothing. It is not a serious movement. And the Black Lives Matter is not calling for violence. They're calling for equality.
That's right.
They're like a civil rights movement. But people on the right like to say that, including some people I know who are full of it. You know what it means, but I won't say the first two letters. And I mean, really, I think that there's more and more danger, as always, because I wrote a book about assassinations, that our future president or vice president could face threats.
Yeah.
They all do.
I think they already are.
But I mean, after Trump said that Kamala Harris was a monster and a communist, some right-wing freak who's going to say, oh, my God, she's vice president, a heartbeat away, and she's a communist, we got to kill her.
Yeah.
Also, Joe Biden already had some threats, and of course they all do. Trump has had threats, too. But I worry that we could, with all these guns out there, and people were able to, even in Michigan, show up at the voting places with guns, I worry that we're going to have an assassination attempt or more, God forbid, against them. Or Pelosi, also. Another strong woman. My God, these women are dangerous, right?
Oh, they are. They should go back to the kitchen.
In the bedroom, they would say.
In the bedroom. Not necessarily
Pelosi,
in that order.
I think she's great.
I do, too. Yeah. I think strong. I married a strong woman.
And yes.
I believe that my mother was a strong woman, but she was a... quietly strong woman. And
well, it was a different era, too.
Yeah, and my sister was much the same. My sister was 10 years older than me, and probably the greatest woman I ever knew other than my mother. Yes.
Well, that's nice to hear. Wow.
Yeah, well, I mean...
You're a good brother and son.
Well, I call both of them my angels, and they are angels now. Both of them are somewhere other than where I wanted them to be.
But. I've lost my brother and my parents. You know, when you get to this age in your 70s...
Yeah.
You know, you start to lose people very close to you. The one thing you fear, though, God forbid, is by accident or otherwise, a child. Oh,
my goodness. I can't imagine.
That's impossible, you know. And it happens all the time, particularly now in COVID-19 times.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hear the stories about Biden's son and daughter, wasn't it? Didn't he lose both his son
wife
and
back
wife?
Then, and then more recently, Bo. And, of course, the two sons from the first wife, both were injured, but they recovered.
Okay.
You know, Bo and Hunter, but also his daughter and his first wife, yes.
Yeah, I can't imagine having that happen. I just can't.
He understands people. So when people have issues, I've been reading, he calls people, he visits people who have leukemia or this or that, and these are people he may only slightly know, but he goes out of his way. He's always been that way. He's not a phony like he's just doing it because he's running for office now. He's always been that kind of a decent human being. And most politicians are not that nice. Some are all right, but some are not. Many are horrible. But he is really an amazing individual, and I just love him. I really do.
Well, now, I don't understand why it seems to be, to me right now, that especially the ignorant white opposition, the Republican, the people that live around here that tend to be aggressive Republican, why they think that being kind, sympathetic, empathetic, and soft-spoken is a sign of weakness. However, if you listen to their preachers, who are quite often non-educated people in this area anyway, non-educated people.
A lot of
people,
these preachers have no real education, right?
And they all speak in that really saccharine sounding. I don't understand it. And I know there are people that have already turned the radio off because they hate what I'm saying. But I told Scott today, one thing that this has done for me is I'm going to just tell it the way I see it.
Well, I think that's the right way to go. And as I said, I've listened a little bit to you and Scott, and you two really make a great team.
Thank you. We enjoy each other. Scott's middle of the roadness drives me nuts, and I'm sure that my left-leaning soapbox stuff drives him nuts. But we like each other, and that makes it a world of difference.
Yeah. Well, he's a very decent human being, and so are you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Very kind.
Yeah.
All right. Enough of the Mutual Admiration Society, as you called it online today, this week.
I must also say, while Adam Lepp and I have disagreements, I admire him and respect him greatly. I've always told him that. You
Excellent.
Know? And I think he feels the same. We just don't agree. Okay.
Yeah.
You're not married.
Yeah. And you don't have to agree if you are married.
And you don't have to agree if you are married. You're right.
Now,
disagree agreeably is the term. You know?
Yeah, you've got, and there are times I've had within the last month, my wife got so angry at me, her stare scared me. She came towards me, and I'm serious. I was afraid she was going to swing at me. And
well, you can tell it. You can't do that because Ron Feynman wants to be on his show on Wednesday.
But you know, the only person that has ever hit anybody in our relationship was my wife, and she was absolutely justified in hitting me, and I'm not going to go into why.
Wow. Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to point out, by the way, you can call me Dr. Feynman, but you can also call me Ron. It's not, I don't care for the formality. I don't dislike it, but you don't need to always do it.
You know, it's not formality, it's respect.
Okay.
I hope you don't mind that.
No, I don't mind at all, you know. But I noticed Scott always says Dr. Feynman.
Yeah, and, you know...
And Adam always said Ron, which is fine. Okay. Either way, I don't care.
When I was in college, we always called the professor, professor. Out of respect, even when we saw him on the street. I'm pretty good friends with our mayor here in town, Mayor Scott Schertzer, and most of the time I call him Mr. Mayor. I think if you've earned the respect of being a doctor, you should get the respect.
My father... I was going to mention, though, that if I ever met the president, I don't know if I could... This one, I don't know if I could say Mr. President. I couldn't.
I know I couldn't. And I've said it on the air this morning that he isn't my president.
Hillary, well, just like there were those who said Obama was not their president.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
I'm afraid that if Biden gets in, there are going to be those who say he's not my president.
I'm sure they will. And that's fine. That's this a sign of protest. It doesn't mean... you're good or bad. Now, if you pull out a gun and start threatening, then you're bad.
Yes, and I do worry about their security, you know, especially as an author of a book on presidential assassinations.
I know you have.
Because Obama had so many. Luckily, he survived them all. But it is scary, you know.
That was one of the first things that I was terrified about. Well, not terrified, but I was frightened for. Mr. Obama, our president, he steals my president. Anyway,
it's great.
I was
speeches against Trump at the end of the campaign.
Fantastic.
Oh, he was wonderful.
But
laughing and saying, "Oh my God, I want you back."
I was scared to death that somebody was going to try to kill him.
Well, there were many situations that could cause that, and there was the time when they were not in the White House, but this guy got into the White House past the Secret Service and was wandering around on the bottom floor. So, and this was in 2014. I write about it in my book right before the end of my writing, you know, because then I had to hand it into the publisher. So, I mean, there were cases where they didn't happen to be there, but the Secret Service has its flaws, unfortunately.
Sure, yeah. Now, are your books on Amazon? Can I go there? I would like to get the one on assassination.
Okay, and the other one, if you're interested, involves Midwestern and Western progressive Republican senators during the New Deal. So you can look up my name, Ronald Feynman, anybody, Twilight of Progressivism, the Western Republican Senators and the New Deal, and then Assassinations, Threats, and the American Presidency from Andrew Jackson and Barack Obama. They're both on there, and it'd be very appreciative if you got either or both, if one day you would write a review on Amazon, but don't tell anybody you know me. So look up my name, you'll find it. Yeah.
All right, thank you very much. I will do that. Yeah.
You flatter me.
Well, you can tell me whether I'm a bad person, but assassinations have always fascinated me.
Yeah, in college, when I was a freshman, I had to do an English term paper, English composition, and I chose this as 1962 fall, the Lincoln assassination. Imagine that.
Uh-huh.
Way back 58 years ago. And then the following year, the Kennedy assassination came along, and of course, all the other threats and attempts and all that, Robert Kennedy, and even non-presidents like Martin Luther King, people like that.
It all happened in a cluster, didn't they?
Yes, it did, and I fear it could happen again, you know. And the point is that I started to do lectures for adult groups here in the last 10, 15 years, and Roman Littlefield apparently saw online that I was lecturing locally, and they wrote and said, "We see you've spoken about presidential assassinations. Would you like to write a book?" So it came out of nowhere. So I said, yes.
Sure.
So I did, and it's in paperback now. So it's
great. I can afford it now.
Sell it, but at least it's in paperback, besides being hardcover.
Cool. I will look it up as soon as I get home.
Yeah. And the Twilight of Progressive is only hardcover, but because it's from years ago, it's very cheap. You know?
Oh, is it?
It's very cheap to buy, I'm just saying, you know.
And I am kind of cheap. Being on Social Security, I don't have a lot of extra cash hanging around.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. Seriously, if you buy the books and you mail them to me, and you know, I will sign them and send them back to you.
Oh, fantastic. I'll see
you. If you want. I mean, I'm not required, but I'm just saying, yeah.
All right.
If you read the book, we could have we could have a show where we discuss the book, and you could ask questions or make comments about one or the other book.
I will try to do that. Now, I've got to tell you this, Ron.
Yeah.
I called you Ron there. No, I'm going.
Don't call me bad names.
I don't know where I was going to go with that. I had something really brilliant, and then I forgot.
I interrupt you. I apologize.
No. Whatever they call it when you. I need that medicine that makes your brains work a little bit better. Oh, well. I'll probably think about it just as I get off the air.
Well, if you do, then write it down and we can discuss it next week.
There you go. And I have done that several times. Now, today, I got to admit to you, I usually have notes of things I'm going to talk to you about. Not usually, always. But today I did not. I was just too exhausted.
Well, I'm very tired and didn't sleep well, so I'm hoping I sound lucid.
Yeah, you do. At first I thought you sounded a little bit raspy, but we both talked enough that we've gotten it out of our system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't want to scream before the show.
Well, now, are you hopeful? It sounds like you're not totally hopeful for the future. Are you hopeful for the future of this country?
Well, in broad sense, yes. I think we'll have President Biden and Vice President Harris. But the Senate's going to be a blockade, and the Supreme Court, if there's any vacancy, or even more federal court, lower courts, it's going to be a problem. So I was hoping for a much more massive change to move the country forward.
Me too.
But I don't think it's going to happen. So we're going to be in a stalemate, but at least with a president who is a decent human being and some initiatives. And I think he will take action against COVID-19 by executive order if it can't be done in Congress. Because I'm convinced that if Trump is reelected, if somehow he overcomes all these barriers, that we're not going to do anything else about stimulus or about COVID-19 because he's declared it's over.
Yeah.
And we're going to lose a million or more people. And I'm sorry, you can call it the flu and other people say other things. It is real and it's got to be dealt with. And other countries are facing it and we need to face it. And if it includes a lockdown, so be it.
Yeah, and that's, you know, people don't like that. You're stepping on my liberties. Well, we stepped all over their liberties during World War II, and we won it because of it.
And ask the British about doing the bombing by the Nazis in World War II, who they sacrificed.
Absolutely.
Ask people in Syria who have suffered under the Syrian Civil War. We still are very privileged in this country, very, you know, indeed very much, you know, having a favorable condition. And if we have to just be much more disciplined for a while, that is important to teach our kids, too, so they grow up to be responsible adults.
I don't know why we've become crybabies, cowardly crybabies.
Selfish and self-centered narcissists, just like the president.
Yeah, yeah. Why did we go that route? brought us there?
Well, he's contributed to it, but there is an element in this country that just feels that they should have everything the way they want it. God forbid they should sacrifice for anybody. And it just infuriates me. It really does.
Well, I told my wife last night I may quit working for the radio station because I don't want to talk to people that don't want to learn. And you fired me back up so that maybe I will I'll hang in for another week or two. Now, I heard...
A week or two. I want you to do this for the rest of your life, and I'll be with you.
Well, I heard a lot of people outside the building screaming, yay, he's leaving! Oh, me.
You need alternative ideas, not just the set ideas of some people. So even if it's not popular, you and I and other people have to speak up for what is moral and ethical.
We need people on both sides to speak up when things are wrong.
Yes.
And unfortunately, right now, we're talking to a wall, I'm afraid.
By the way, if it comes in, the wall's not going to go any further than the few miles that it has been built.
Is that
is so ridiculous. And the wall that he's put up in the White House is wrong, and it will come down under President Biden.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. A non, you can't climb over it or something? I don't know what it is.
Maybe it's just too tall. But whatever, it's just, it makes us look bad. And this one person I know
sure
on
does.
Facebook from Germany says, do you realize how the United States looks to Europe?
Yeah, yeah.
And not good.
And that's a terrible thing. Now, the thing I thought was interesting, I've seen pictures. Now, these might be Russian bots that are putting these online.
Yes.
But I've seen pictures of places in that supposed impenetrable wall where they actually cut holes out so that they could go through them.
Oh, you mean down at the border?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm ready. There's no impenetrable wall. Maybe at the White House because they have a lot of Secret Service. That's different. But no, there's no impenetrable wall. And the concept of building a wall is purely insane. And it is not an answer. And it's not going to prevent people. They can dig underground. They already have done that in San Diego area, in other areas. If they want to come through, even the drug people and all that, they find a way.
Of course. Even the Great China Wall was mounted and gone through and around and over. So.
And the Blue Wall, while people may have been killed doing it, they did dig under the wall. Unfortunately, it may have been found at the other end and shot. But I'm saying, you cannot prevent people, and that is not the kind of thing. America, with the Statue of Liberty, this is not where we should be.
No. The Statue of Liberty, people ought to really pay more attention to that when they're trying to run Hispanic people off, black people off, Asian people off. It's just nuts.
No, and also with the little cartoon I saw of the Statue of Liberty with the, you know, with the woman on top off the statue, behind the statue, saying, "Is he gone yet?" It was funny.
Well, we're down to our last minute, so I'm going to ask you to say goodbye, but also if you have any last thoughts, I'll be glad to listen, and then we're going to get out of here in about 60 seconds.
Okay, well, just say, and thank you again for inviting me, I'm looking forward to next week, but the election will end up with Joe Biden winning, and I think likely, now with changes, I think he will lose Pennsylvania, but win North Carolina, Georgia, and Michigan, and he's already won Wisconsin, Nevada, Arizona, and Maine, and the Nebraska one vote, and it'll end up, instead of 413, it'll be very likely 322 to 236.
Okay. Well, we're going to take you to task next week if you're wrong.
Yes, well, the one thing is I can't be fired because I'm not paid to do this.
Well, you have a wonderful day, and thanks,
okay,
Dr.
Thank
Feynman,
you.
For coming on. You're listening to The Progressive Life with Glenn Coble and Dr. Feynman today. Take care.
Thank you very much, and send my best to Scott.
Okay, I will. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Dr. Feynman, and he will be on next week, and we are at the end of our show. I hope you will stay tuned for the rest of the stuff that's going on here, and thanks a lot for listening.
You're listening to WWE.